of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, all will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing, nor do you consider that it's better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish." He did not say this on his own, but since he was high priest for that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to kill him. So Jesus no longer walked among the Jews in public, but he left for the region near the desert to a town called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover, in order to purify themselves. They looked for Jesus and said to each other as they were in the temple area, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. So we are on the cusp of Holy Week. We get an introduction to the mystery today. We see evil, the evil that would focus itself on Jesus. We see Jesus' response to that evil, and we see how we're supposed to cooperate with that response. First, the evil. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. Everybody is talking about it. And rather than rejoicing, some are afraid. They're not happy that a man who was dead and 4 days in the tomb has just been brought back to life. They're not happy for his family. They find that a threat. And they convene, say, "What are we going to do? If we don't do something, everybody's going to believe in Jesus." And they didn't want people to believe in Jesus, because to believe in Jesus would mean that they would lose their position. It would mean that their interpretation of what the Messiah would be erroneous. And they were too proud to accept it. So they expressed their thought, "If we leave him alone, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." Why would the Romans take away their land and nation? Especially far away from the capital. If there was any division or dissension, the Romans would come in with a brutal hand. They had to care for the peripheries. And they thought that if they didn't do anything about Jesus, that there would be huge division among the people. Why? Because they refused to accept Jesus. Jesus wasn't coming to bring division. But their attachment to sin would bring division. That's why Jesus, for example, wept over Jerusalem, saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long have I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks? But you refused. And you will be visited, and stone will be ripped upon stone." Jesus had come as the Prince of Peace to heal them of the type of sinfulness that was going to lead them to the divisions that the Romans would eventually come and crush. But they refused. And then Caiaphas stood up. You could see how greatly corrupted so many of the religious leaders had become, that this person sounded more like Machiavelli than a high priest. "You know nothing," he insulted the fellow members of the Sanhedrin. Nor do you consider that it's better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish. He's the patron sinner of those who think the end justifies the means. Let's execute this innocent man for our sake and the sake of the whole people. And that's precisely what they did. This is evil in its pristine form. They don't have room for God. They don't want to accept that God might be in their midst. They don't want to follow beyond any of their preconceived notions. And so that they wouldn't have to hear the message, they wanted to crucify the messenger. What was Jesus' response? Jesus took this evil and incorporated it as part of salvation. St. John points to this. He said, he didn't say this on his own, but because he was high priest that year, he was prophesying that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, and here it comes, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. That out of that evil, Jesus was going to bring peace. Out of that wickedness, out of that sinful division, Jesus was going to bring unity. In today's first reading, the prophet Ezekiel showed how this was God's plan from the beginning. I will make with them a covenant of peace. My dwelling will be with them. I will be their God. Never again shall they be divided, two nations, and into two kingdoms. He was going to gather them from all sides to bring them back. The prophet Jeremiah, who gave us our response to that first reading today, said, he who scattered Israel in the exile now gathers them together and guards them as a shepherd guards his flock. Jesus was going to bring everybody together. And he had said that when the Son of Man is lifted up, he would gather all nations to himself. That it would be through his crucifixion that he would unite God to man, west to east. That's the essential work of salvation, to bring us into communion with God again and communion with each other. That's God's response to evil. Now, what's our role? Our role is to gather with Jesus. Jesus said in another part of the gospel that the one who does not gather with me scatters. If we're truly going to be Jesus' disciple, we have to be gatherers. We have to be like the sheepdogs of the Good Shepherd, gathering all the lost sheep into one. That's God's plan. And on the cusp of Holy Week, we need to think about that very carefully. God wants us to gather together, not to be a whole bunch of isolated disciples here and there doing things on our own. He wants to convene us because we're so much stronger when we're united in numbers. He wants to gather us here so that he can gather us together with him. That's the essential plan. So he wants us gathered on Palm Sunday. He wants us gathered throughout Holy Week. He wants us to come together on Holy Thursday when he eagerly desires to celebrate that Passover meal with us. He wants us to stick together when all his first disciples scattered when he was arrested. He wants us to gather with his mother at the foot of the cross on Good Friday, standing there, witnessing him as he dies so that we might live. He wants us gathered as we welcome so many new members into our family at the Easter Vigil, full of joy at the greatest victory of all time. The devil is the great divider. His name in Greek, diabolos, literally means he who diverts. That's what he's going to be trying to do this week. Christ and the Holy Spirit whom he sent is going to try to bring us together. And that's the big choice we make as we enter into this holiest of weeks. Where Jesus always divides us is right here. Sorry, where Jesus always unites us in response to the devil's division is right here at Mass. At that first Mass, he He prayed to the Father that we might be as one as He and the Father are one. It's here that He makes us one body, one spirit in Christ. How grateful He is that we've come here today to be united with Him and with each other. And let us ask Him as we enter into this holiest of weeks to bring that twofold communion to completion. Praise be Jesus Christ.